Well, the people have spoken. We just don't know what they said yet. That's the old post-election saying, which seems to apply after the election to the 50-seat National Parliament of the Solomon Islands, at least in terms of who'll form the next government. It's clear that the Our Party of controversial incumbent Prime Minister Manasseh Sogavare can't govern in its own right, though it's the biggest single party with 15 seats. So now at hotels and restaurants across Honiara, the wheeling and dealing, to put it politely, of cobbling together a new coalition government is underway. It's a process that the founder and editor of the Melanesian news network, Dorothy Wickham, has observed many times. And Dorothy joins us this morning from Honiara. Welcome back, Dorothy. It's great to be speaking with you. Dorothy, could you give us an overview of this result as you see it and whether it's a rebuke for now caretaker Prime Minister Sogavare?
Well, it's really, really fluid at the moment if you look at the numbers, because the CARE Coalition signed to partner with the United Party group, which is Peter Kenilorea Jr.'s group, yesterday.
So the CARE Coalition, that's the opposition group led by Matthew Wale, who won
correct.
13 seats, yeah.
Correct. They signed a partnership agreement yesterday, a coalition agreement, and they're claiming 20. And just unconfirmed reports say that our party has 23. So whoever wants to take on this government needs 26, really, to be sure of their numbers. They have to have 26.
And there were, 10 independent MPs elected? So that sounds like a very, very complicated set of negotiations impending from both sides to try and get across to that magic number of 26.
That's right. That's why everybody's still not sure which way it's going to fall now. We are just waiting to see when they actually do nominate who they want as their prime minister, the two groups, then we'll see. Who thinks that they have the strongest number?
Is this the result that was predicted before the election? Did the government and Prime Minister Sogavare perform less well than expected, Dorothy?
I think from what I heard before the elections, and I think from some insiders, they were thinking or hoping to get about 20, and if it was. At the worst case scenario, they would have hit 15, and that's what happened. They got to 15.
Well, that doesn't sound like a great outcome for them then. Dorothy, what were the main issues in the election campaign, and are they the issues that are likely to determine the deal for a new government?
Yes, I think so. I think there are some issues that have really stood out during the campaign, and also from what the public is saying back to to the candidates during their campaigns. And a lot of it hinged on corruption, education, health, and infrastructure like water supplies. These are the concerns of the people. They feel that they're struggling too much. And I think the way that they've voted this time around has shown that they want to see change, because they've had for the last 5 years, felt that they've been left out of the whole deal.
Dorothy, tell us a little bit more about the process that's going on at the moment. It's sort of notorious that there are, you know, meetings in hotels and restaurants across Honiara. How does the process of negotiation work? And is it between parties or individual MPs or a mix?
It's a mix in some ways. Sometimes there's individual MPs approaching each other, and then you have party members approaching other party members, and it just goes on until maybe on the voting day, because you just never know. Because it's also when they actually vote for the prime minister, it's a secret ballot, so you don't know who's casting the vote for which candidate until the results come out.
And what's the time frame for that vote on the next prime minister?
Well, we are waiting for the Governor General to actually announce the official date of the election. But from what I've heard, I think the nomination should be on the 1st of May and then the election on the 8th. But that needs to be announced and that needs to be confirmed.
Yes, and we've certainly seen in the past that sometimes those dates can end up being changed in unexpected circumstances. We're speaking with Dorothy Wickham, the founder and editor of the Melanesian News Network, on Sunday Extra about the recent national elections in the Solomon Islands. Dorothy, is it inevitable that the next Prime Minister will be one of the leaders of the parties that won the biggest number of votes? Like, is it possible there could be a third candidate that comes through as the leader of a new coalition?
Well, it should be either of the two leaders of these two big groupings. But you also need to understand that because there's been demand for change, these two groupings might change the candidates for the seat of the Prime Minister. So we'll see how this swings.
Three women were elected in the latest election. How does that compare to previous parliaments?
It's actually quite good. We've not dropped back too much. We were a bit worried that we'd end up with only one or two, but we ended up with three, which is better than two or one. But I think more women need to contest elections so that we have a better chance to have representation at national parliament level. And it's not an easy task to be running as a female candidate in a Melanesian society, as you should know. You should look at the Melanesian region and you know it's a tough battle. But these three women did well.
Because I understand the number of female candidates in this election was a little bit down from 2019. Is that right?
Correct. There were two that stood down because their husbands were going to contest. So they stood down to allow for their husbands to take on the battle. And because they had actually taken on this seat when their husbands had been petitioned out and they ran to replace their husbands.
Going back to the negotiations for a new coalition government, it's all sort of very cloak and dagger stuff. How do you cover this process in the media, Dorothy? Do individual players speak out during the negotiations?
Yes, some do. But we've found lately that they seem to be keeping very quiet until they're very sure of their numbers. Unlike the last elections in 2018, there were more vocal members on all the different sides. This time around, they have decided to remain quiet until they are sure of their numbers, like what happened with the CARE group, which is led by Matthew Wale. Until they signed the agreement with United Party, then they made an announcement.
Have people in the past spoken out a little bit more about previous negotiations, and does that give us an insight into what might be happening now?
Yes, there's some who have spoken out off the record, actually, not on the record, and that's the difference too, is that they're willing to tell you what happened last time, but they don't want to be quoted on what happened last time, so it gets difficult for the media.
From the Australian perspective, obviously the relationship between the Solomon Islands and China has been a central focus of late. How much of an issue was that in the campaign? And given that the Sogavare party has not done as well as it was hoping, is there any prospect, you think, that the relationship with China will change in the new government?
There are some who are saying that it will change. And I think the change that Solomon Islanders are expecting is that there be more control and transparency of this relationship with China. That the public needs to know and also accept the changes before government starts making changes to the relationship or how it works with China.
It's always a very fraught thing to try and predict the outcomes of these sorts of negotiations. But what's your gut feel, Dorothy? Who do you anticipate will be the next Prime Minister of the Solomon Islands?
Very, very difficult to say at the moment. But I've got a gut feeling that it will be a new person from either side, I think.
So that means a change of Prime Minister, although to some extent that won't be a new person in the sense of somebody who hasn't been Prime Minister before, because most of the leaders have held that office at least once. Is that right?
Yeah, well, Matthew Wale hasn't.
Of course,
And
yes.
Peter Kenmore Jr. has not held that post before. But what I'm saying is these two groups might choose new leaders within themselves.
Why might that be the case? It's usually if someone's led the party to an election, you'd expect them to maintain the leadership if there's a possibility of becoming prime minister. Is there some sense of dissatisfaction with the leaders of the opposition parties?
And also, I think they're much more aware of the public opinion this time around. As you know, we had two rights in this town because people didn't agree with the choice of prime minister. So I think they're being cautious of that as well and trying to take into consideration what the feedback is coming from the public.
Yes, that's certainly been a factor pre and post elections in the past in Solomon Islands, the risk of an outbreak of conflict and violence. Is there much sense of that at the moment? What is the situation, like the feel on the streets of the Solomon Islands and Honiara in particular?
Well, it's been very quiet. There's a liquor ban on, so there's not much movement socially after hours. But there's also a sense of anticipation. People want to see who's going to be the prime minister as soon as possible, but they also want to see some change. So there's a sense of calm, but also a sense of worry too, that the leaders will not... their decisions will not reflect what the public has been saying for the last maybe 2 years to be sure that they want the leaders to go in the direction they want them to go.
Has Prime Minister Sogavare made much comment on the performance of his party on the election? Does he have a sense of optimism about retaining his position?
No, he has not issued any statements. He's arrived back from his constituency, but he has not made any public statements, or their party has not made any public statements yet.
Well, because it turned out that his individual constituency was pretty close call in the end, wasn't it?
Yeah, people were expecting him to win by a little bit more than what he got, but he did win in the end.
Yes, yeah, but not a margin that would make a sitting Prime Minister very comfortable, I would have thought. Dorothy, it's been great speaking with you. Thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thank you.
And, of course, we'll follow those wheeling-dealing negotiations to find out who the next Prime Minister and the new government of the Solomon Islands will be over coming weeks on Sunday Extra.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.